Blog Talk Radio.
This is Rare Bird Radio. I'm Mary Tabor, author of the recently released novel Who by Fire. My guest today is the gift to the literary world, whose name is Margaret Brown. Margaret is a gift because she conceived of and made happen the digital magazine on books entitled Shelf Unbound. Margaret birthed this gorgeous magazine that you've got to see to believe. The first issue came out in September 2010 with a subtitle that is stuck, What to Read Next in Independent Publishing. The whole thing was her idea, and boy, did she make it happen. While others are talking about the end of the magazine, Margaret creates one that is digital, that is like browsing in a bookstore, only prettier, more accurately, stunningly beautiful, and that introduces you to books and authors you might never otherwise know or hear of. And that doesn't mean that she ignores those who get New York Times and LA Times book reviews, but it does mean that she digs through the piles of lousy self-published stuff and obscure indie publishers to find the gems from both. I think Margaret Brown might be an angel. But it turns out she claims to be a real person, likely story, I say. Born in Houston, a voracious reader of magazines and books as soon as she could read, and when she was 9 and her brother launched a weekly summer family newspaper, she signed on as a reporter. In her early 20s, she landed a job as a secretary at a trade publication in San Francisco and ended up, of course she did, the managing editor. But the books were calling her, so she worked in a bookstore. And somewhere along the way, she wrote a novel while journalism called her again, meaning this time, Margaret conceived of and launched Living West, a Western lifestyle magazine, and was soon hired away to be editor-in-chief of the magazine Cowboys and Indians. But then, this lifetime reader and journalist, this lifetime member of the National Book Critics Circle, connected some key dots that few others saw, and she put them together. Isn't that the definition of creativity? I think it is. Mm-hmm. She received a Nook in 2009 and then an iPad, and she designed a digital version of the magazine Cowboys and Indians for those cowboys who didn't buy her vision. And what a vision it is. In 2010, Margaret launched Shelf Unbound that, get this, listeners, now has 125,000 subscribers in 58 countries. Did you hear that? She's launching an art magazine in the fall and a spinoff of Shelf Unbound for middle readers called Middle Shelf Cool Reads for Kids. But if that isn't enough, Margaret can literally juggle. You heard me, juggle. She may be a magician. I think she's an angel, and I'm standing by that one. Margaret Brown, welcome to Rare Bird Radio.
Well, gosh, Mary, I'm tremendously flattered by your introduction. Thank you very much.
Well, it's so wonderful to have you here. You know, I'd like you to talk first about that issue in 2010 and what a beauty it is. You know, the risks, how you made it happen?
Yeah. So, as you were saying, I'd been an editor of print magazines for about 25 years, and when digital came along and the iPad came out, I just saw some examples of digital magazines, the few that were out there, on the iPad and how gorgeous they were and how the interactivity was possible, hot linking. And I got really excited and just decided to pursue that full tilt in doing research on how to go about it and how, you know, what the different venues were. And based on that, decided in 2010, about the middle of 2010, that it would be really fun to launch a digital magazine, and I had a lifelong interest in small press and independent books. I'd written a novel that, you know, was sort of stuck in the drawer and had not gotten anywhere with agents that I'd sent it to or anything, which is certainly something that, you know, I mean, most writers experience that. And I just decided to pull some magazine friends together, and we launched Shelf Unbound. And it's been fun. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. You know,
okay.
I want to talk a little bit more about this first issue because you have a poem by Wesley McNeil, whose poetry I adore.
Mm-hmm.
You have in that issue Philip Levine, you know, who win stuff like the National Book Critics Circle Award, the Pulitzer Prize. I mean, you have a Pinckney Benedict. I mean, how did you get all these folks to just agree to come in and just do this?
Well, that was one thing that was really remarkable, and it stayed remarkable, is that before we even launched, before we were anything, I contacted some of these authors. I had read Pinckney Benedict's work in the 90s, I guess, and saw that he had a new thing coming out, and his press, Press 53, was gracious enough to connect me with him, and he gave us a great interview. I think in that same issue, we got the Pulitzer Prize winner, Paul Harding, who had just won for Tinkers, which came from...
I want to talk to you about that one. Yes, you do and, have him in there. Why don't we talk about him for a little bit? You know, the thing here is that that won the Pulitzer that year, and it came out of a small press, Bellevue Literary Press, and it's a really interesting conversation you have with him. But what I'd like to ask you about that is... So would you say that sometimes miracles can still happen in this world of the Big Six, you know, where someone like that from Bellevue Literary Press, it comes out of a hospital, really?
Yeah, I mean, that was really shocking. And if you read the book, it's not shocking that it won, but shocking that it gets that kind of recognition.
Yeah.
But really, I think we're seeing more and more of that, that from small presses, they're winning some of the bigger awards and getting, you know, at least getting on some of the short lists, and I think we're going to see more and more of that. And, you know, when we launched Shelf Unbound, I had this idea that there were all these books that were being overlooked by sort of mainstream bookstores and media and book reviews, and that we could spotlight those. And what I found is that in the 3 years that we've been almost 3 years we've been working on Shelf, that I have found some of the best books I've read in my entire life, and their book, and yours included. And they're, it's just really been a joy to find these books. The authors have just been really gracious in terms of giving us their time and giving us really good interviews. And, you know, we've just been able to spotlight all these books. And it's been thrilling. And I think that with bookstores, either the big bookstores kind of disappearing or morphing into something else, and with Amazon being a place where people are exposed to a lot of books, I think that we bring a different element that people can find really, really fantastic indie books.
Well, I'm just buying like crazy from Shelf Unbound, and one of the things that our listeners need to know about this magazine is that when you read it, and you subscribe to it, and you can just find it by Googling Shelf Unbound, but if you click on a book, you can buy it. So
yeah,
Margaret has done this amazing thing where the purchase of the book is connected to the magazine, if you like. It makes everything so perfect. Go ahead.
And let me interject that subscriptions are free at shelfmediagroup.com, we send out the issue via link and social media. All of the books are hot linked, so you click on the book and it takes you directly to that book's page at Amazon or whatever, which is a really great part of being digital.
Why are you doing it for free?
Well, initially we actually were for sale. We were on a digital newsstand that at the time we launched was kind of where everybody was, and what we found was that our 100 subscribers really, really loved us, but people didn't know what digital magazines were. I realized maybe about, I don't know, several months in, that really the formula that I think for magazines in the future is free distribution to a niche market that's global, that gives you a really a reader that then is of value to that, to your advertisers. And I think that, you know, we're, like you said, we have global distribution of 58 countries. And I think that there's so much content for free out there that I think charging for content is just a formula that really is either dying or dead.
Well, I think that's an incredibly brave thing to have done. And I also just am in such wonder of it, because the best books that I've ever picked up are books that I'm reading that are in where you've chosen them, or you and those who you're working with, including The Yellow Birds. This novel by Kevin Powers is just a beautifully poetic writing about war, and you wouldn't think to put poetry and war. It's not poetry, but it's so gorgeous.
Yeah.
And he was widely reviewed. So did you find his reviews first, or how did you find him?
Well, that story is actually funny, and it kind of also is indicative of how we find books. I had decided to do an issue. This was when 50 Shades of Grey was really kind of at its peak. And so I decided to do 50 Shades of Fiction, Smart Reads
for the Rest
of
Us. I love this issue. It is so wonderful. Everyone out there, go Google, and get it.
Yeah. So I thought, well, we'll do books that have a color in the title and look for 50 colors. And so it was quite fun. And I did a lot of, for every issue, I go to about 200 small press websites and look to see what they have that's new or forthcoming.
Wow.
We look at every book that people send us digitally or in print, you know, really sort of everything that crosses our desk, we take a look at. And so I actually found Yellow Birds by just going on. It was before, I found it before all the press came out.
Because it's gotten a lot of great press.
Yeah, it really has. And I think it won the National Book Award or was a finalist. I think it won, actually. But anyway, so I just found it just serendipitously by looking for a book that had the title Yellow in it. But what I found was a book that really was extraordinary. And like you said, I think he's a young man who served two terms in Iraq, and after it came back and wrote this beautiful book that's half about the horrors of war, and the second half about the horrors of coming home and dealing with post-traumatic stress. And His language is absolutely gorgeous. I think he's a writer that we will be reading for decades, and I'm glad his book got as much press as it did. It certainly deserves all the accolades.
Well, and I hope he gets some sales from today's call too, for people who are listening. One of the things that he says in the interview with you is, I think you ask him something about the catharsis involved in this. And I found this really fascinating as a writer myself, because he makes very clear that that there may have been a draft that was cathartic, but that this is not catharsis. And I totally agree with him about this process of the way one makes something other out of the work, and the difference between catharsis and art. And I think he's got art here on the page. I really do.
Right. So would you just say the same thing for your book, that it's art and not catharsis, or was it both?
Well, I have trouble with the word art. I'd like to use that word if that's what I'm shooting for.
Well, it is a piece of art, so now that's taken care of.
Okay. Well, you know, the key for me here has been the personal journey that's involved in this story. And this is the first here on this show. I want you to know that I have a book show that has a book club associated with it, in which we have never discussed my book. So you're the first person to ever talk about it who's actually been on the show, I think, who's actually read it.
Let me interrupt you there, because on that note. So, you know, you're asking about how we selected Kevin Powers' book. Well, the way that we selected your book, and I think that Who by Fire really is a perfect example of, number one, why we created Shelf Unbound, to spotlight, you know, incredibly wonderful books, treasures that you might not otherwise discover. And two, it's what makes Shelf Unbound, I think, as good as it is, that we get really thoughtful interview responses from people like you that are really fascinating to read, that talk about being alive, that talk about writing, that talk about humanity, why we exist. And so the way that I chose your book was I had, which is in our current issue, and it's up on our website, and I believe that I had gotten a copy of it from when I was at Book Expo, or your publisher sent me one later. And so I had it in a stack of books that I was going through when I was kind of beginning to plan my issue. And I had about five or six books that that looked interesting to me. I usually like to pick three books to read really, really deeply and slowly and carefully and do interviews with those three writers and have that really be sort of the meat of the issue.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had your book and a few other books, and I was trying to see what overlapping things they might have. And I came up with the idea of Odyssey. They all kind of had Odysseys, and the Odyssey issue spun from there. What appealed to me, kind of what caught my eye about your book was, number one, it has a gorgeous cover, and I am a sucker for a gorgeous cover. but the blurb on the front, you have a blurb from Pulitzer Prize winner Robert Olin Butler.
Yeah.
Mary L. Tabor's Who by Fire is a lovely, innovative, deeply engaging novel about how it is that human beings make their way through the mysteries of existence. And, I mean, A, you have a blurb from a Pulitzer Prize winner, but that...
And I don't know him at all. He just agreed to read the manuscript. I am so indebted to him for having done what he did, really.
Well, and I think he summed it up and it totally, and that really made me interested in your book. And then a blurb on the back says, Who by Fire has earned its place among books that matter. And I completely agree with that. And that's really what we're trying to do with Self Unbound, is take books that matter and get them, hopefully, a wider audience that they deserve. And then I looked at the first line of your book, and it's, I would have told Lena about the fire I saw in Iowa, but it is regret that writes this, that longs for said things unsaid. And you had me from that line on.
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe that. You know, I've been telling students for years that the first line is really the most important line that you put down.
Yes.
And I've wondered forever if that first line worked. I have never had anyone tell me that. It's just remarkable that you say that, really.
Well,
just remarkable.
Well, you nailed it. It's a wonderful sentence. It's poetic. It's smart. It's intriguing. I wanted to read more. And as I read the book, there's so many. It's a complex book with a lot of different thought, it's an inventive approach that I hadn't read. And so really, this is the poster child book for Shelf Unbound. This is the kind of book that we're looking
for. Oh my gosh!
It's always a thrill. You know, I've created the perfect job for myself because I get to read books like this and, you know, talk to the writers and get to know them and then share all of that with our audience. And you know, that's what Shelf Unbound is all about.
You know, one of the things I noticed in one of the issues, that is so beautiful what you just said. I'm so grateful, and I'm definitely blushing here. I can feel the heat rising up my face here. But I can is that you're choosing. You have poetry. You have really unusual stuff. You have. I'm reading that there's a Clarice Lispector, a book about Clarice Lispector.
Mm-hmm.
This. Wonderfully brilliant Brazilian writer. There's a poem by Marina, I'm not going to pronounce this correctly, Sveteva. And I got to know both of these through, and I'm actually building on something that you're saying about what I hope I did in my book. And because I found them both through the writer Helene Csikszentmihalyi. Have you ever heard of her? Do you know her?
I haven't. Who is she?
Well, it's a wonderful, she's written a wonderful book called Three Steps on the Ladder of Writing, and she's considered a philosopher in France. She's just a really fascinating writer. But one of the things that she says in this little book that's not a how-to book at all, but she says the only book that's worth writing is the one we don't have the courage or strength to write.
Oh, wow.
The book that hurts us.
Beautiful.
That makes us tremble, red, and bleed. You know, mm-hmm. I think that this book for me was, it took a lot of courage to write this book.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that anyone who really takes pen in hand, so to speak, metaphorically, if you're using a keyboard or whatever, if you're not going to write close to the bone the way Kevin Powers has, the way Paul Harding has in Tinkers, we're talking about Yellowbirds and Tinkers, these two books that have gotten all the kind of acclaim that, you know, most writers don't ever see in their lifetimes, they're writing really close to the bone. That doesn't mean that they're telling a cathartic story or that they're writing memoir, but it means that they're going to the scary place where it takes a lot of courage to say the unsayable sometimes.
Right. So how do you do that?
Well, you do it in a kind of fearless way. I often say this about my own work, that what I say in my books, and particularly in this book, which I think is my most challenging piece of work, I know it's my most innovative piece of work. I hope I have some years left to do more, and I'm working on something now. Mm-hmm. But what I say about this is that there are things that I say in print that then get published that I would never, ever say out loud.
Wow, yeah.
And I think that's what it's about. It's about not the going to the subconscious. It's more of being open to the unconscious process of creating and making the kinds of connections that you don't really understand while you're doing it. You're really on the journey as you write. That's, I think, what you feel when you read something that's inventive. You sense that. I mean, I think I know that you and I are lovers of the book Bel Canto, for instance. You know, I have a feeling that Ann Patchett didn't write that book knowing how it would end. And I don't think that the greatest books that we read are written with that knowledge. They're written instead in a way that we believe we're on the journey with the writer, because the journey is the writer's journey.
Yeah,
and we join with them there.
Yeah, I agree with what you said about Bel Canto, and I think what I love about that, I mean, one of the primary things I love about that book is the brilliant structure, and I think that, I think she went with it and it unfolded, and you know, that was part of the joy of that book, was just the unfolding and the shifting of relationships, and it was just such a smart architecture for that book.
Yeah, and for those who don't know this book, this is a book about an opera singer who gets who's in South America and gets ambushed, essentially, inside an embassy. And it's based on a real opera singer, and I don't think that Patchett even knew anything about opera. I've read about it, that she just read a lot of opera of opera while she was writing the book.
Yeah.
Let me talk a little bit more with you about what you're doing here. You've done some really, really brave things. One, Margaret, of the issues that I think is the bravest of all is you dealt with self-published poetry and literary fiction.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you decide to do this issue, certainly against all good advice, I suspect?
Well, yeah, actually, I decided one day, hey, I think it would be fun to do a writing competition for best self-published book. And then I thought, well, we could have the winners feature, and, you know, notable books featured in our, you know, in a future issue. And I thought, well, that would be cool. And I just kind of put the word out. We didn't really advertise it. I sort of put the word out through social media, and I contacted writers groups. And, you know, so the day I sent out the call for entries, I guess I sent it out to our subscribers as well. So I sent it out, and the first thing that happened was that I got an email from a guy who has a well-regarded online book review website, and he basically, we had a few rounds of emails, but he questioned my integrity in doing it, because he said what it came down to finally is he said that he'd never seen or read a self-published book that was worth turning the page.
Well, you sure proved him wrong, didn't you?
I did, and I said, you know, just wait till you see our issue. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. And so then we started getting entries, and I thought that the judging process would be easy because the really good ones would stand out. And really what we got about 800 entries, and honestly,
that's amazing. Wow.
Yeah, and it was so exciting and heartening and encouraging, because the quality of most of the, I mean, really, most of them was just excellent. And we got all kinds of genres, and the winning book is by Jennifer Bresnik. It's called The Last Death of Tev Krosini. It's a 400-something page epic fantasy quest, kind of Tolkien-like, which is not what I usually read. From the moment I started reading it, she was 26 years old when she published it, and it is such an assured, wonderful work, and everyone who I know who's read it has just really loved it. And she's just completed her second novel. And in other books too, and there are so many books worthy of exposure that we didn't even have room for. But I think her book is really a testament to, it's one of my favorite books I've ever read. It's very well done. And she, had sent it to agents and not gotten any kind of response. And so I think that's really the exciting thing about self-publishing right now, is that there's a lot of excellent self-published books out there. And, we spotlight some of them. And I hope that, I think that more and more people are telling their stories and having the opportunity to get their stories out there. And I think because of the digital era, it's really an exciting time for authors, readers, publishers to all connect all around the world.
And you're making that possible. That's what you're doing. That's why you are an angel. I mean, that's why it is so incredible, because you're making that possible. And we tend to forget that Walt Whitman self-published, he's dead, so maybe it helps that he's dead, so if you've self-published and you're dead, maybe that's okay. But if you're alive and try to do this, then if you don't have the imprimatur of the gatekeepers, and the gatekeepers have become a very small and confused group, I don't mean personally confused, but I mean there's the sort of the marketplace is confused right now. Wouldn't you agree?
Right. Yeah, and what we wanted to do was really be a curator of great indie reads, and also to spotlight these wonderful books, but also create a magazine that on its own was a satisfying magazine reading experience. And I think we've done that, and one thing that I really find that I'm excited about is that we're also developing a community of people, and
You bet you are.
And that's really gratifying to me, because I I'm a champion of this writing and these authors, and it's really wonderful to have.
And also, Margaret, our listeners should know that this should not, we can sort of talk literarily with one another. It may sound like this is all very literary stuff, but the fact of the matter is, this is a really well-written, colloquially written, beautifully open. The questions really go to the heart of the matter. And also, Laura Dern is on the cover of one issue.
Yeah.
And one of the issues deals with Stanley Kubrick. And, there are fascinating photography in this book. It's just some of the most beautiful photography I've ever seen is in this magazine book. I said book, but I mean magazine.
Yeah.
So you are doing something that is so groundbreaking here, and everyone who's listening should know this.
Well, thank you very much. It's really been a blast to do it.
The identity issue is also a fantastic. I've been through every issue, so I might be able to tell. I've done my research here. What inspired the identity issue, as we come sort of to the close of the half hour here? And then I want you to also talk about the upcoming issue.
Yeah, the identity issue, it's just sort of, I think the issue had sort of pulled together, and then I just had the idea that there were some identity elements, and it's really a very organic process, and everything kind of comes together a little bit differently. But our upcoming issue, which will come out at the end of the first week of April, is the theme is a dog theme, but it's not really literally books about dogs. It's we have a cover from a new photography book called Maddie on Things by
Beautiful, stunning cover. I've had an early preview of it.
Saren Humphrey's been going around the country shooting photos of his coonhound Maggie on Things, and it's a really fun book. He's got a big social media following, and he shot a cover for us of Maddie in this big bookcase. And so it's a really fun cover, and we've just sort of taken that and run with it, and have so we have, you know, we have some interviews with authors, but it's not a literal dog thing. It's just, but dogs are kind of on the sidelines of everything, and it's going to be good. I'm really excited about it.
Well, I think you're a kind of poet in the way you have a theme that ties every issue together, and then somehow the photography and everything just holds the whole issue as an organic whole, and yet we're in the process of discovery every time we turn a page, and we digitally turn a page. It's just beautiful. You've got, you listeners out there, you have got to get a hold of Shelf Unbound. Margaret, as I come to a close of this show, I want to say this to you. In your opening issue, Philip Levine wrote an essay, and he's a marvelous poet whom I have loved for years and years. I believe he's in his 80s now. I'd like to close the show with a line from his poem, The Simple Truth, which is also the title of the book that won the Pulitzer. Some things you know all your life. They are so simple and true. They must be said without elegance, meter, and rhyme. They must be laid on the table beside the salt shaker, the glass of water. Margaret Brown, the simple truth is that you are a literary angel. Thank you for connecting with me through my book and here so generously, Margaret, so humanly, so heartfelt on this show.
Well, thank you, Mary. That's very, very kind of you. And I'm delighted to be on it, and I really appreciate you asking me.
It's been a pleasure. Have a great afternoon.
You too.
And I hope we talk soon another time.
Yes, I think we're going to have to.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. Thank you.